the trick of ascension is learning how to survive total fucked up biology. You can
That's
do that.
Right.
You won. Yeah. You won. You make the impossible thing. You make the model. Then you make the impossible thing. Then you make the thing you have to overcome. And then you have to figure out what you have to overcome. Then you have to overcome it and see what the reasoning behind the overcomance came from. And then once that is settled, then you can placate the entire process in tandem. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You're doing good. You're doing good, Missy. You're doing good.
When I remember that incident, it makes me think even more about this book that Bob and I were reading about Daniel Sheehan, who was in the midst of the Pentagon Papers and everything that happened. He got birth control legalized, so he's responsible for the sexual revolution, where women thought they had to catch up with men now because they couldn't get pregnant. But anyway. So, yeah, I'm a civil libertarian when it comes to health. And when I looked up in the Constitution, there's nothing about health at all. We're on our own. Nothing.
That's right. But they don't know. See, that's the thing they know that they don't know. They don't even know what they don't know. That's the point.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is just got to be easy with it, because – You become the messenger, and that ain't what you want to be. You can't. Got to go easy.
Well, what I've done is just solve the problem. Rather than pointing out that they fucked up, I've just gone ahead and solved the problem for myself and for anyone who listens. So I'm happy. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And you're doing great. And they're coming around. That's what's actually astounding. They're actually coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
Awesome. Okay.
Because now look at what you know now that you didn't know then. Look at what you know now that you didn't know then regarding how the body even processes information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about nutrition really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was, but it's not even about nutrition anymore, because there's no nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've said that all along, but everybody looked at us crazy. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We don't mind. They look at Bob's behavior, so it's all good.
And the processing of information, it's all those. That's an electrolyte capacity for sure.
And it may be the most crucial, but we don't want to make it a thing. You see, it's kind of like put this in the inbox. Put this in, as Bob says, put this in a suggestion box, because it's going to come up later.
Wow. Awesome.
So good.
I know there's,
you're doing great.
There's more there.
We are so pleased that what happens is you don't get stuck. So many people get on the little soapbox and get stuck. And then it's so high they don't remember how they got up on the soapbox, and they can't step off the soapbox because it's so far to the ground, you see. But here, it takes the heat out of the fire, and if you can wax and wane with it, it's going to serve you amazingly.
So,
doing good. Winning.
Awesome.
Winning.
Yeah. Winning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A sidebar sentence that you said once, looks like January 30th, 2016, is that the little men are furious that people are ascending. And my question is, what are the little men aware of to be furious with people ascending?
People can get away with things. People own islands. People own castles. People have no trouble. People diddle little bitty kids and don't get in any trouble. People do anything they want to do and just seem to walk right through the fire. People have the ability and capacity to have all the money in the world. People decide that they want to run for president, and it's perfectly okay to spend $120 million on commercials on the television. That's perfectly normal and okay. People don't like that, because it's kind of like, who are you? Where do you come to this? How do you build such an empire? How do you do the pro rata per money per hour. Take $1 billion and divide that by a 40-hour work week, and the money just doesn't work. It doesn't compute. You can't figure Social Security wage earnings on all that kind of stuff, you see. So
Yeah. They
don't like it. And what they don't like about it specifically is that it's so outside of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so outside of them that they can't grasp it. Now, Bob took this up happily. Bob took this up. Let's talk about Bob now. He's going to get this thing right if you hurry up and do them dishes.
Right.
We got to get this thing right because Bob took on the Koch brothers himself personally. Because they were acting like they were all that in a bag of chips. And he says, they're nothing. Well, Koch brothers are the Koch Industries. Well, Bob is mad. And the next thing you know, the artsy-fartsy one, but this falls over and dies. Now, what do you hear about the Koch brothers no more? Nothing. Are they less now? Did they not control the sun, moon, and stars? Do they not prescribe every good and wonderful thing in your life? Are they not responsible for every fabulous thing that ever happens in this millennia? And you don't hear shit about them anymore. Because Bob's like, okay, we're done. Go. Because the position has nothing to do with the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the issue. Bob sees the bigger picture. And
okay,
see, now it's not about monies. It's about the place of calling it what it is.
Maybe Bob will ask this when he gets out of the kitchen. But when Bob exposed all that at CKLN, was he creating vibrations in that world that changed history?
No, Don, he doesn't change history. He writes history.
Yeah. So when Bob exposed things on CKLN, he was writing history.
Well, here's what's hysterical about CKLN. He didn't have a clue what the hell he was talking about. Tell me, he sat the hammers. He didn't have no idea what he was talking about. Oh, well, that's the so-and-so. Well, that's the Otto von Hertzberg, and Hertzberg took over the Turner Texans, and the Turner Texans.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. If you listen to those damn words, it's like listening to us in the early days. Relax and allow and let it go, and like a peaceful river down an orange boat in a rim-raging stream, and all that kind of food. But then it came back around, and then it became validated. And then he was stunned. And he's like, holy shit. That's what you're getting now. You're getting, for the first time ever in your world, stunned Bob. He had no idea.
Yeah.
Now he's like, I better pay more attention to my deliberate intent. I better pay more close attention to my deliberate intent. Because then when it shows up, it's still his. That's the thing, he still owns it. So there's the rub. And that's what you keep saying. It's nice to be the boss, isn't it, Bob? It's nice to be the boss, isn't it, Bob? He's like, shut up. But your point is valid. It's like, well, if you serve how you want it, if that's how it is, then make sure you make it the way you want it. That's the rub. And he will, and that's fine. But, see, that's where he's having to caterwaul it out just a little to say, I don't know anything, but you can't see, that doesn't work now. I don't know anything doesn't work now. So you set the sun, moon, and stars, that doesn't work anymore. It's like, okay
I'm going to let him go into that. I'm going to continue on. I just had that thought. Excellent.
Perfect.
Thank you. January 30th, 2016, you said, Ion, the perfect cell, there must be a difference. Yes, because the other ones of those you slough off in your bed. So my question today is, what were you not saying there about the perfect cell?
How you arrive at it, how it is arrived. How it is arrived.
Yeah.
And see, we kind of did. If you notice, if you look, exactly right.
The perfect cell. Do you want to talk about how we're creating it? And I would say it's with the all the remedies and...
You're achieving it. No. You're achieving it. What's happening is the landscape has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Happily.
Yeah.
And that changing landscape has caused you to have to give a different consideration. The different consideration is that it's not the same way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, it's when Crawford Long invented anesthesia,
mm-hmm.
that changed everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything. Now, was it good? Well, some say no. Some say it's terrible. No. But it allowed people to get their stuff done and tonsils out and gallbladders ripped out and, you know, things fixed so you didn't stroke out. You see? So
yeah.
In that window, it's like, well, okay, maybe it helped a little bit. But, see, from necessity's sake, he never saw it like that. He saw it as an end to a means.
An end
so
to a means.
You can't fault him. An end to a means. An end to
yeah.
a means. So now they can hold, you know, they can be still. You don't have to strap them down, go through all that
yeah.
trauma when you can just anesthetize them. Okay.
Right.
So the point now becomes, now what you're going to do with that, that's what you're doing here. That's the perfect cell, is you're finding a way to get the body to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, it can't. And it will.
Mm-hmm.
And what we didn't say was that process. We didn't say was that process.
Yes. Okay, so perfect cell.
Very good. It's exciting, Karen. It's exciting because it's exactly as Bob laid it out, and it's so confounding. Because if you look at it from any esoteric valuation or put a value judgment on any step of it, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. And then it's like, well, go with it. Okay. You say something, I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing. You say something, I didn't say nothing. Okay. Go with it. That's all you can do.
Yeah. All righty.
Ian, when you say what Bob said and what we're doing, it's ridiculous. Do you mean our larger, what we're doing, Coldplay, medicine, everything, that's ridiculous that we're doing it? We're nobody.
Bob.
Is that what you mean by?
Bob. You changed the entire economy of the United States of fucking America and did away with all currency, all gold, all silver, all things, and came back and told everybody that be still, don't worry, just keep typing. That's all you got to do. And guess what? That's what they're doing. They're not doing anything. They don't work. They don't get money. They don't have money. Doesn't matter. They push the button. They drop it by. The van pulls up, throws the gimme, throws it in the house. They get it. They don't know. And the bill comes. And they don't pay it. They ain't got no money. Okay. Well, that's good. Don't worry. Okay. Just keep typing.
Okay. Nobel Prize.
Then you got a 6-year-old YouTuber. Six-year-old YouTuber making $26 million a year by testing toys on YouTube. Testing toys on YouTube if they're fit to play with or not.
Yeah.
No.
And so,
okay. Yeah, that's a little odd, Bob. That's a little would be on the precarious side of odd, Bob.
Well, it would be odd if I won the Nobel Prize for Economics. That's not likely going to happen, right? People don't.
But you wouldn't want it for that. You wouldn't want it for that. You would want it to be a thespian. You'd have to be a thespian because it's all a stage, and you have art.
Yeah, be a great actor
in your own world. You have art.
That's why Robert De Niro is
mad.
Tell those words. I go to the capacity of my own becoming. Say that sentence.
Yeah, the artful capacity of your own becoming.
Right. And this is why De Niro's mad. He knows something's changing in the acting world.
Sure. They aren't acting anymore. They're just making CGI. Who can fuck somebody to death and who can be the biggest alien or the devil or how many different ways can you spell bitch? That's the new moniker thing. And then they'll make a series on a series on a series about a series. Now they're making series about series. But that's what Bob says. Just keep watching. Nobody's going to watch cable anymore. You're going to make the thing. You'll be saying out loud. You won't even type it. You just say it. What you want to watch, and it comes on the TV.
Right.
And you get where you do that, and then Siri takes care of that. It's pretty amazing. But that's what you said. You said something about a mechanical bride. We don't know what you mean.
Okay, so the ridiculousity is what I thought you meant. It's our whole scene. What we've done is quite – nobody could have predicted it or even imagined it.
Well,
happened.
You didn't even predict – you didn't predict it. You prescribed it. There's a difference.
I just said it was.
Right.
It is.
See, if you're predicting something, that's one thing. But you didn't predict it. You're prescribing. When a doctor prescribes something, they're writing an order for steps that you do to achieve the new result. That's
right.
A prescription. That's the difference. But you got to chart it.
Oh.
Or you didn't do it.
All right. What?
Or I didn't do it.
You
it's not
chart
charted.
It.
Correct.
Well, is the charting the recordings on the timeline?
No, the charting is your chart, the tiny note chart.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
That's
so
why there's no room for any. That's why there's no room for anything else. Now, in the medical world, then it's a different thing. If you didn't chart in their medical record, then it didn't occur. Even if you did it, it didn't occur.
And my charting shows that it was done by me. Not the occurrence.
Well, you explain the prescription. You explain the prescription.
Well, that's the pro is not prescription. Pro is the denying. You proscribe. You stop something, don't you, when you proscribe?
Yes, but
or
prescription is what we're saying.
Yeah, prescription. Prescribed it. Didn't I hear you say most are hiding? You mean the serious ionauts we don't hear from?
Mostly. You have a bigger effect. You have people that have been listening all these years that have never did, just calling in for the very first time. Just now.
Right.
And you're like, how the fuck do you hang around 10 years and never call in or never, you know, how do you keep yourself so distracted? Well, they're scared, Bob. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they come from. You're the only thing that gives them a chance because you're like, well, I'm ridiculous. I would never take these products. Are you kidding? Why do you, this shit'll kill you dead as a side of hammer. I'd never take that. This shit tastes bad. If you taste right there, it don't taste good. I would never do that. That's crazy. Carolyn, do we take that? Yes, Bob. Okay. Well, Carolyn says we take it, so I guess I must. So, okay, that's fine. I'll try. I'll try anything. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So
sounds so vehemently, predictably outrageous that you can rarely grasp any construct with it. If that makes
sense. You mean all that Ion says, or the products which are referring to?
No difference.
More ridiculous.
It's crazy when you start doing the real math as far as sane people listening. It's like you can't get there from here, basically.
Okay, so you're saying the ionauts who call in, they're not afraid because they don't believe it. That's why they're hypocrites.
Some people get ascension because they see the light, and others get it because they feel the heat.
Oh, so the ones who are afraid are feeling the heat.
Yes.
Yeah. But they keep listening. That's the way they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, they're getting
people...
access. Cause see, they...
Okay, so then sonic resonance, what did that apply to? Is that a new term, better than the resonant interval?
Yes, it is. Not necessarily that new, but it is.
Sonic resonance is going to be, is that the way we describe what the eye cell does in the body? It does sonic resonance?
No, it keeps the body from having a negative response to a sonic resonance. It's a new level that allows you to survive it. It'll build up your aorta so it doesn't blow.
So sonic resonance is something that's happening in the environment?
Yes.
Caused by radiation?
Caused by you and that damn chart.
All right. So I always say we're ions here because we're changing matter. You've now come up with a term for what we're doing to matter, sonic resonance. And if you're not ready, if you're not protected, you get zapped, blow up.
And then that becomes, there's a penalty phase because now you know.
Right. Now,
never a penalty phase. You could do what you wanted to. Kumbaya, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's like kumbaya on my ass. It's on, get on the bus. You know, wheels on the bus go round and round. Jump in.
Yes, that means we can play this part about sonic resonance because that's the way we let them know what's going on and they can't hide from it anymore. They can't ignore it.
And they really shouldn't. Why would you want to? The thing that saved your life, why would you hide from the thing that's saving you? Why would you run from the thing that's protecting you? Why would you separate yourself from the only clear and present danger preventer in your world? It makes no sense.
Well, how does the eye cell protect you from sonic resonance?
Oh, it'll build your body to a different degree so that interaction will have a less penetration or less less effect. It'll be less effect.
Right. Is 5G part of the disservice of sonic resonance?
We don't know yet. We'll tell you. There's a lot of that coming. You'll get sick. Don't worry about that. You'll get sick of talking about that before we're through with it, Bob. You'll get sick of it.
Well, we found out that our computers or something, cell phones here in Maui have 5G, right, Carolyn? So they successfully built it. They incorporated Maui into the 5G universe.
And you remember, it wasn't a minute ago they were saying they were so excited that Maui wasn't going to be on the 5G network and it wasn't going to rot your brain and it wasn't going to be pulsing through your houses and it wasn't. And we said they'd people do it if they had to put it in their lofts or their houses, that it was a done deal. So yeah, it's a done deal.
And it was done under a different name. I am predicting.
Whatever you call it. Blame it on
the
rain.
What'd you say? The rain?
Blame it on the rain, Bob.
Yeah, so our chiropractor's wife who led the charge against 5G, does she know that it's come in? Or she wouldn't know because
we don't
different
know
names,
what
correct?
Does. There's a lot of stuff she doesn't know, Bob.
Right.
Just ask her. Okay. Just ask her. There's a lot of things she doesn't know.
Right. Now back to sonic resonance. Is it, Carolyn talks about, well, people take all these different medications, and we don't know what the mixture of all those drugs and their chemicals do to the body. Nobody's figuring that out.
We say that on purpose.
You say what? Compounding.
When you mix three drugs together, you've made a new drug.
Right. So is the sonic resonance the present state of what matter has become, and it includes the effect of the tech body, the compounding of all our technologies and all the way people are and what they make and how they respond, the result right now is sonic resonance. Is that a new development, the sonic resonance?
It would be.
Any scientists, mainstream people beginning to notice this in some way?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Which department, which telescope, which institute?
Say it again now?
Yeah, which institute, which laboratory, which telescope, which gang of scientists are noticing this? Sonic resonance.
White Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
The Palmer Institute and two of them we can't name.
Great. Are they noticing that something is affecting people's bodies and they know it's not good, or they're registering what's in the air, what's in...
They don't care. They don't care. They're about the money, Bob. They don't care what's good or bad, or up or down.
What do they
don't care.
How do they observe sonic resonance?
What's happening? The birds are jumping off. The swallows aren't returning to Capistrano. The The up doesn't go down, the down doesn't go up. You push the button, it doesn't come. You push the elevator button, it doesn't come. You don't know what's wrong. Why doesn't it come? It always used to come, but it doesn't come anymore. Why doesn't it come anymore? I don't know. We'll put the study up. We'll study it. Oh, my God, we're going to die. Better find out what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I pushed the button, it didn't come up down. No, okay. They're just noting what's notable. They're noting the notable, and that noticing is the thing you are ahead of all the way through, because you not only know it, you told them in advance. Do you realize what's happening right now? J.R., Bob, Dobbs, fuck you, Neverett, you know what's happening right now? President what? Trump just told your goofball governor of California, said you better get a handle on them homeless people, them druggies, you run around here on the druggies, you run around here supporting all that stuff. That's foolish. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to clean it up. You know what he's going to come with? You know how he's going to clean it up? He's going to build FEMA cramps. He's going to build FEMA cramps.
How is that going to come in? And it was coming in, but how would it come in? Under the guise
FEMA
of shelter. Yeah. Wow.
Sheltering, helping them, giving them their drugs, load them up on heroin, and put them in a box. Cardboard box.
Does anybody in California know he's going to do that?
Nobody cares. They're all high on damn drugs. They don't care. You do it. They roll around like the walking dead. They don't have a clue where they are, let alone what's happening to them. Bob, they're not watching the television. They don't know. They're all high pissing in people's yards.
Okay,
in their doorways. So
will the ACLU?
You see how ridiculous. You can't say colored people no more, Bob. You can't say colored people no more.
I know. Well, are the ACLU and the Liberty Hawks, are they going to say, oh, no, the beginning of the concentration camps? Is that what's coming?
No, they're not going to say that. Coming. They don't care. They're not. That's not coming. They get it. They see it as a problem. That's not. The only reason the ACLU, the colored, ridiculous civil liberties, they're not very civil. They don't have any liberty. And they don't know what's going on. The only time that the Rainbow Coalition comes in there is when they're going to make some damn money checks off of it. The only time you're going to get Bernice King off her ass to come see something going on is when she's making money checks. Past that, there's not very much civil libertine compassion left in that wheelhouse of candor. So yeah,
great. So
don't worry about it.
But are the camps going to be turned and become a bad scene like the Nazi camps became? That somebody behind Trump's going to.
It can't be any worse than somebody laying in your yard, not paying any taxes, shitting in your doorway, and saying, "Put me in jail," when they won't. Well, I'm gonna get. I'll get rehab. They'll put me in rehab. Okay, I'm gonna rehab.
Well, you know, Karen's all worried about Global 2000. And the depopulation of the world. It's even get killed. The depopulation of the world. Yeah, the Global 2000 agenda Kissinger set up to depopulate the world. They're not going to take advantage, if they're still around, of the camps and depopulate the world.
No, it'll be good. It'll be like the Soylent Green, Bob. It'll be like that.
Oh, I know that movie, but what happened to that? Somebody had it and then it ran out or something?
No, they ate the people. The people they were eating, the Soylent Green was people.
Right.
They didn't have nothing to eat, so they started eating the people. Eat the babies! Eat the babies! Remember LaRouche?
All right. Yes, LaRouche. Why is Robert De Niro so mad at Trump?
He's just furious because it's questioned his capacity. It's questioned his ability to even hold a capacity. It's taken everything that he would call sovereign or important or dear as limitlessly lifeless. He has slapped it in the face of everything that's good or everything that's wholesome or appropriate. He just slaps it in the face. And De Niro's just railing in that condition. He's railing
and some,
the condition.
Yeah, and some other people who are on pedestals in Hollywood, like Barbara Streisand, I don't know, maybe Meryl Streep and Jane Fonda or something.
Well,
they all
Joy
are outraged.
Well, some of those are just, no, they're just doing it. They just want attention. See, they're no, who in the fuck's talking about Jane fucking Fonda? Nobody in the world talk about that bitch. So she has to do this little pipe stuff So look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's like mama on the water boy, Kathy Bates. She just wanted all the attention for herself. She just wanted the attention for herself. So they ride that train of a me too, to try to get ahead of the condition that they might get a nickel's worth of attention. As an errant two-year-old will clearly prescribe, attention is attention. There is no good attention or bad attention. I just want attention. Now get in here and love me right now. You hurry up and get in here and love me right now.
But with De Niro, he is shocked at what Trump's doing. Is he also shocked because Trump, he grew up with Trump. Trump was in New York. He knows all the bad stories about Trump from the 80s and 90s. And
well, he knows how bad he is. He knows how bad he is. So, of course, it would be quite a slap in the face. Why can't he be president? Why can't he make
something
of his life?
Yeah, De Niro knows how bad
he is. If Trump can do it, that son of a bitch, he needs to be killed. I know who he is. And then what he's really saying in the background is like, well, I could be president, too. And I'm not even able to make movies anymore because nobody watches me because they say I'm a washed-up has-been, used to be.
Right. Okay. So then, the 33.
Oh my God! I've become Ethel Merman.
Okay. So the 33-year cycle that's talked about in Dark, and you've elaborated on it. They usually say a generation goes about 30 years. Every generation is about a 30-year period.
So far,
is that something related?
Every time you have 30 years, you have a whole other generation. Remember?
Right. You mean me personally, Bob, has that.
So far.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is the 33-year cycle popularized as a generation lasts about 30 years?
Yeah. It's
a
cycle. It's a cycle.
Yeah. You know, there's a generation. Yeah, every like you could say the baby boomers were born in the 40s, so 30 years later you get Generation X, and then 30 years later you get the millennials, 2000 or something. This 30-year thing that people perceive, that's a dull apprehension of the precise 33-year cycle.
And the boomers and the doomers and the gloomers,
right?
And all that.
But
stuff.
The 33-year cycle.
All those are subset. All those are subset of the reality.
Yeah,
reality. We don't know what real is. We don't know what it is. We do not know what it is, Bob. But that's a subset of it.
Right. It's a
okay,
subset.
McLuhan. If you don't know what it is, how can you know that there's a subset of it? That's the rub, McLuhan.
Right, but the 33-year cycle creates these subsets. But the 33-year cycle is very precise and is on another level that humans don't perceive or
They do perceive it. They argue against it. They fight for it. They find their limitations, and they try to kill somebody over it, and they can't be anything, and they're mad because they're not, and they want to be something when they grow up, but they can't be something because my mama said I wasn't nothing, I couldn't be anything, I can't get there from here, it doesn't work out for me, I don't know who the fuck I am, I don't know why nobody talks to me, I don't like this anyway, who are these people around me, and why did they get here? Oh, my God, I think I'm going to become Meryl Streep.
Okay, thank you. The next point is, quite a well-known person, associate of Tim Leary, and then a guru doing the New Age circuit, Baba Ram Dass. His original name was Richard Alpert. Why did he pass on?
Done.
Why did he leave?
Run out of pearls.
Yeah, and he lived here in Maui. Did Carol and I affect him in some way?
He saw you.
I did talk to him once, and at the Maui Center there, the cultural center. But he seemed to be a little out of it. But he saw us. He knows about what Karen and I are doing, some angle of us, what we're doing.
Yeah, he did. And then once again, he couldn't take it.
Right, and they can't take it. They don't know where we come from. because they think they're
you
aware
don't
of all
know
the
where
people.
You don't know where you come from. So when they try to pin you down, like, well, I would never listen to me. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. You people are crazy. You're following me off the cliff, and then you're mad because you end up at the bottom of the rock. Hey, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, follow me right over this cliff. I'll be right here. It's that next step is a doozy, because your outro is never meets the coda.
Outro never meets the coda. Well, the coda is some kind of intro outro music, isn't it?
No,
they call it
the
coda.
The coda is at the end. The coda is at the end of the song, and the coda you go back, and it's another
to
part,
what, the original,
another ending to the music. The coda loops back to itself.
No, but is the coda replay the original melody of the song, or
no,
totally different?
It creates an alternate ending to the musical, classically musical piece, or just not classical, just musical piece.
So I have a coda, and it doesn't match my outro. Is that what you said?
Outro.
The coda.
That's right.
Coda. Yeah, O-U-T-R-O.
C-O-D-A. Coda.
Yeah, and it doesn't match my outro. You meaning what should be an outro, my outro doesn't act like an outro, not even a coda.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. All right. So
and look those words up. Look those words up and apply it the same way. Don't change it up for what we said, didn't say, meant, didn't mean, and all that bullshit. Don't start all that. Just go with it.
And you said don't go with what you said?
Yeah, go with the words here. Don't, when you look up the definition, don't go changing the definition into something that's like, oh, I meant that my outro didn't meet the code, and the code is something that doesn't go with this, and I didn't even know what that meant. But yeah, don't do all that. Just go with the words. You'll be all right.
Okay, so Baba Ram Dass, my proposition is that as people become aware of us, they go, well, Baba Ram Dass says, this guy never came to my course. He doesn't talk about stuff I talk about. So how is he prominent? Why is he getting attention? They're puzzled that we don't come from their route, from their path that they think they form for people. Is that part of the reason they don't get us?
Sometimes, mostly.
Yeah. But he saw us, and what did he make of it?
Well, he was stunned, because you're not the sum total that you are. You are not the sum total that you are.
Well, is he the sum total of what he is?
Hell no. He's nothing. He died. He's dead. He's true.
Okay, so I'm not the sum total. In other words, I'm more than what he would notice.
Yes.
Does he know that? That's what bothers him?
No. No, he doesn't know it. That's why he killed himself. If he had known that, he could have worshipped you and been all
right.
But he didn't, so he had to die.
So you're saying I am not the sum total. He doesn't perceive my sum total accurately.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. All right.
That's correct.
So partly does he transition because he knows he's not as significant as he used to be in the gaze of the media or whatever is paying attention to him, the boomers and that. Does he know that that's not working anymore? Does that depress him?
Just not significant. Well, he's just, it's lost. It's over. The meal is terminated.
All right. So he, in Boston, in the late 60s, stumbled into a case, and he solved it so that birth control would be allowed in the Catholic-dominated Boston, Massachusetts area. So he says that's because people now could, unmarried people could have sex if they use contraception, because Daniel changed the law very cleverly, made the law be changed. He said that started the sexual revolution. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, it was the late-term abortions, when you can be 18 years old and still abort your child. That's what really changed it.
You couldn't abort late in the 40s and 30s and 20s? Is that what you're saying?
Being,
We're being cheeky. We're saying when your child's 18 years old, you can still abort the baby, abort the fetus.
Oh, yeah.
When the child is 18 years old, late abortion.
Today. You're talking about today.
Today, that's what changed everything, was the really late-term abortion.
Right, so the sexual revolution didn't happen till today, so that became possible.
Correct. Well, it's just beginning now. We'll let you know how it goes.
Well,
started with the Me Too movement. It was a movement.
Yeah, that was a sexual revolution?
It is the beginning of it.
Well, it's dampening everybody, but it'll be the beginning because everybody will react to that and fuck like rabbits to rebel against the Me Too.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And what?
Isadora was the first brawl burner.
Isadora Duncan? The
mm-hmm.
dancer? Right. Now,
it was the first bra burner. Mm-hmm.
Right. That'd be in the 19th century or early 20th century. Isadora Duncan. So, now I
Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
Right. And Ian said that what's happening is people have sinned or something. And Ian said, well, it's going to be people have more sex. Now, there's a mood about that sex doesn't drive the millennials. They're not that involved with sex.
They don't even know. They have no drive anymore. Because it's all been ruined. It's all been done. See, your levels of degree, the drivers in the, you had the incubus. Do you know what an incubus is?
Yeah, that's the, quote, demon that occupies your dreams.
The driver that says, ooh, I got to have that. Ooh, that feels good. Ooh, get me right here. Ooh, get me to the place where I can have a copulative experience. Ooh, I want that again. Ooh, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I want some more. They don't have that because it's all been so placated. And they don't even have to worry about the AIDS and the shit no more because I don't even kill them. Used to, that all killed everybody. They don't have to worry about that no more. So it's like we're back to free love again. Bob, it's the 60s all over again. But nobody even feels anything. They don't care. Doesn't matter. I'll just do what I do. I want my technology.
Yeah,
that's
so the tech body, that's an effect of the tech body, taking over people's sensory excitements, numbing them.
Well, they look at the Pornhub and their penis ain't that big. It can't be 9 feet long, really. I mean, what would you do with a 9 foot long penis? And then you have these titties, these 77 triple double Ds that you'd have to be a morphed giant to carry around titties this big that they keep blowing up with silicone. And then they got a 12-inch waist that they couldn't have a shit if they ate anything because it's 12-inch waist. And, you know, it ain't even like a Coke bottle no more. It's almost kind of like pushing a marshmallow in a Coca-Cola bottle. It's more like it. But you can't do this anymore because it's so aberrated that it's not normal. And then if you did have interaction engagement, you're looking at whatever it is you're diddling and going, well, you're not what I saw on Pornhub. Well, you don't have a 12-inch waist. Well, damn, you got a fat ass. Why am I going to lose? You're not even pretty. I'm not fucking you. You're not even attractive. Get away from me. And it's like, ooh. And then they judge everything based on what they're judging. So then they turn to their own sex because that's safe. So they do that for a little bit. And then they realize that they're not worthy of whoever that is or roddy, roddy, rah. And then everybody's rutting around trying to find the next cabal to jump into or jump out of to the point that it holds no impetus. So they'll just sit home and do their own thing and be happy with it and call it a day. We're good. You good? Yeah, I'm good. See, the biological function of to create or expel semen, you don't have to do that. It's better if you do. Everything works better if you do. People run around getting these vasectomies, all that goodies got to go somewhere. Better to get that part out so you can produce more. But if you don't, but you don't have to. And there's the rub and the problem. And so they've gotten to the point where they're just numb to it. All right, okay, we're good. Thank you.
What were you saying about you get a vasectomy, you can do more with a vasectomy?
Yeah, if you have a vasectomy, they clip the part that allows the semen to come into the ejaculate. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's got to go, that semen goes somewhere. And they snip it. And we're saying that it's not good to snip it because it doesn't go out.
Right. So that causes problems. Because you said it creates more of.
Yeah, you have to. It's better to ejaculate because you make more sperm. So it's good to have that ejaculate out.
Right. Okay, so this fad of polyamory, people having sort of more than one close relationship, is that a fad or is that just part of more and more people having sex? And that's the term for the new
turning into. It's turning into dinner and a movie where they just go to the bar and then pick up somebody and then they sleep with him and then they go sleep with somebody else and they just kind of keep rolling with it till they decide they don't want to roll no more. So, short version is that.
And they're not finding it very satisfying.
Well, they it's so mundane and common, there's nothing exciting about any of it. What's exciting?
Right.
So ooh, what's pussy. Exciting? Ooh, pussy. Oh, that's exciting. Pussy. Ooh, yes. Okay. Instead of, it used to be the interaction of being with someone that you're intimate with, that there's a closeness that you enjoy. Okay, that's genuinely pleasurable. And instead what's happened, that's all been turned into the what you call a zeitgeist. So now you have sex from the thanks to the Dark Soul Productions.
Right, so what are people
never
excited
pleasant.
About? What did you
Nothing.
Say? Which is never which is never pleasant? Is that what you just said?
Never pleasant, that's right.
Yeah, Dark Soul Productions. But are people excited by their tech body stimulations? That's all they're excited by today? Is there anything else they're excited by?
Not really. Well, you live in the world. What excites them? You walk to the beach and look at those walking dead people. They don't look excited to be at the beach. They're like, oh, God, here we are again. We got to be in the damn beach. Oh, shit.
That's right.
I'm going to get sand in my crack. I'm going to get a crabs in my ass. I'm going to get problems in my problems, and yeah, it's going to be bad. So,
okay,
you know,
so what are people excited by Trump? He gives them something to yell at, to complain about. Does he serve a function?
No. He stands as the bastion of everything they can't be. He said everything you had in the way your life was, everything Meryl Streep ever stood for. Trump says that's ridiculous. It's an abomination. It's a ridiculous construct that will never be allowed to be contained. I'll come after you and I'll undo the very thing that you say is important to you. This thing you created. Now, look, where's the Oscars? Where's the Oscars? Where's the Grammys? Where's this? Where's that? Used to be a big deal. Oh, we got this. They don't even watch it no more. It ain't even on the TV no more. Used to see.
Well, Trump caused the deflation of it?
Yeah, he exposed it. He said, you people are ridiculous. You're nothing. You're running around fucking little kids. You're in here killing babies. You're up here taking drugs. You're taking sleeping with anybody. You're inappropriate in every way. We're not going to live like you. You are not even close to as pretty as Julia Roberts thinks she is.
Do the people in Hollywood that we're describing here sit around plotting how to get rid of Trump, or are they giving up?
They're so offended. No, they're so offended. Well, they're scared now. Now he's put them under the train. You know what under the train means? You lift your head up
death.
One time. No, it means you lift your head up one time, and I will run over your head. Keep your head down. You keep your head. Sit down. That's what that means. Raise your hand up against me. Try it.
Yeah. And,
try it.
And
try it.
Right. And meanwhile, Drudge now, oh, my God, Trump's disapproval, it's up to 53%. And they try to exaggerate what is not happening of any consequence.
Correct.
That's right. The new Drudge.
And meanwhile, they're calling people on the phone that they already know what they're going to say, or if they're even calling people, they call three people, and that becomes the Polyak, Nimicrop, Kripalop, the Rasputin, Rasmutin, Raspotin, Rasputin, Rasmutin. This is the same. Then the same motherfuckers that said Hillary Rotten Clinton was going to be your next dead president is. Remember?
Right. Yes. Okay, so okay, finish up with a final question. Final question. How do people, let me say the two parts, and then maybe you'll do it individually.
We'll try to do
how
good.
Do people,
we're working hard for you.
Right, right. I appreciate it. How do people form their worldviews, and why are these worldviews different? Is that an
because
obvious
Because they gauge them.
Answer?
No, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. What happens is they gauge their world based on what they know. Before, you had to have decorum. You had to have a modality of compassion. You had to be appropriate. You had to have a socio-perception that was accepted, like you didn't say, God damn. You didn't say, God damn. It's not appropriate. It's not a nice thing to say. Well, now, all of a sudden, they can say, God damn on South Park, for Pete's sake. You can't say, ass shit house or asshole. Now you can. Apparently, now those words all of a sudden are okay. So that it's based on what you know. People don't know what they like what they know. But it was appropriate that this was considered normal, nice behavior. Now, we went off the chains early on to be avant-garde to question all that, to say why words, nigger. Okay, did something blow up? Somebody died? Nigger. Is that a bad word? Why is it? Nigger. Well, come on now. What's it about, really? Is it really? Are you offended? Okay, go kill yourself. Good. Congratulations. Nigger. Okay. Well, okay. That's the worst thing that can be said of all the words that are words. It's not even the unforgivable sin. I mean, you know, no, it is true. We didn't say take a spoonful of antibiotics. We didn't go that far. We know our limits. We're not going that far. Don't go to leave some antibiotics alone. They're just saying, no way. We didn't say don't take a spoonful of sugar. Never did we say that. We didn't want to go too far off the chain. But the condition response is just that. Okay? Barbecue sauce is only as good as the one who's tasting it. You get that?
Yep.
So you don't even know what barbecue, you just said yeah, but you don't even know what barbecue sauce is. That's why this is so hysterical. Carolyn, what is barbecue sauce? Well, it's like a textured tomatoey, spicy, and it has like an andouille kind of a spice to it. It's got like a chili powder to it. It's kind of like a spicy ketchup. Sometimes they make it sweet. Sometimes they make it with mustard. There's a thousand kinds of barbecue sauce. And then now your question was, what was your original question again?
You don't remember. I have to say it for you. How do people form their worldviews?
Based on barbecue sauce.
On their experience. And it's obvious that people, right? And it's obvious that people experience different kinds of barbecue sauce or don't even experience it. That's why they're different.
Correct.
That seems to be the common sense explanation. So why are we
starting
off saying, no,
until you go to North Carolina and they have to have a vinegar-based barbecue sauce. And they have to have loaf bread on the table when you eat your barbecue. Or you go to South Carolina and they'll blow your brains out if you don't have a mustard-based barbecue sauce. So it becomes a cultural experience held in a neoclassical zeitgeist.
Is our zeitgeist neoclassical or they have the George Washington neoclassical?
They have to sojourn. They have to sojourn to a neoclassical zeitgeist. Because in Louisiana, guess what? There's no barbecue sauce. There's no barbecue sauce in Louisiana. No.
Are they neoclassical too?
Well, that is their neoclassical representation, is a world without the barbecue sauce.
Mm. Okay. It doesn't
for
mean
them
that
to barbecue. For them to barbecue means to put something on the grill.
Yeah, you mean by neoclassical that particular culture. You don't mean in North Carolina they are fully aware of Jefferson's mansion, the architecture, which is known as neoclassical.
They should, because a neoclassical representation of what barbecue sauce is, they would say, is what Jefferson would have had on his table.
Mm.
They would argue that since the foundation of time, this is the correct barbecue sauce and way to eat it. And in South Carolina, they would say a neoclassical representation. Oh, no, 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 no. It was not Thomas Aquinas. We don't even know who that motherfucker is. No, no, no. It's Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, yeah. That's the whole thing. Don't bring no damn Christian Murdy in here on us. We know what barbecue is. We're missing all that food. You see, and there's that becomes the rub.
Well, that sounds like the human little man world. That people like contrast, you like something, well, I'm going to like something else. So culture and differentiation and different worldviews comes out of the natural process of human cognition and difference and arguing.
But the fun is even that the only thing consistent is the arguing, because even those that argue that point all of a sudden will change their mind and go, no, I like the vinegar to barbecue sauce better than the mustard. And I'm in South Carolina. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I have to move to North Carolina then. Because they're not even consistent. At least you're consistent with your ridiculousness.
Yes, I'm consistent.
You're consistent with it. Consistently inconsistent.
Yes. So they. So how do people form their worldviews from their experience? Why are they different? Through contrast and human perversity to be inconsistent.
In an incredulous atmosphere of doubt.
Okay, that's a good one. All right. Thank you very much, Ion. That's an excellent session. Look forward
Happy
to re-listening
hey,
to
hey,
it.
Hey, Dr. Ning got a few good things tonight. Did you notice?
Oh, I think I'll even listen to her part. Yes,
yeah,
I think I need to keep up.
It might have been a nickel's back worth of good. It's buy that for a dollar.
Yes, I think she expressed her delight with it too.
Wonderful. Happy days, and it's maybe a good show. Everybody's going to be slung up and drunk from the either drunk from the Christmas ho ho ho, or getting ready for the new year. We're going to launch the 2020s. The roaring 20s,
awesome.
Bob.
Okay. That'll be fun. Okay, thank you very much, Ion.
Be well.
Talk to you soon. Yes.